How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hello, everybody, ladies, gentlemen, dragons, dragonites. I don't know, making up words. This is Take the Black Live, the House of the Dragon after show, where we go over the latest episode of HBO's Game of Thrones prequel series. My name is Dan Selke. I'm the editor at winterscoming.net, and I'm here with, who am I here with?
I'm Daniel Roman, the associate editor of winterscoming.net.
Boom. And I am Natalie Zamora. Head of entertainment at Fansided.
We're all here. We all love House of the Dragon. And we're here on a good night. So, guys, let's get it rolling right away, because why not? I'll say up top, I really like this episode. It's called Small Folk, apparently. And I want to pose to you in the audience and to the other panelists a somewhat philosophical question. We have in our comments section another setup episode. And I think he's kind of talking about, because last week a lot of us were sort of critical of the episode being a little slow, being a little heavy on setup. And I kind of agree with Chris a bit that this did set a lot of things up. Small folk. There was no big battle. I don't know. There was no breaking down and crying scene. There was a making up and kissing scene. But I enjoyed this one so much more than the last one. And even I'm not entirely sure why, although I have my opinions on it. Do you guys feel where I'm coming from? And why do you think this setup episode worked and the last one felt a little leaden?
You want to go first, Natalie?
Sure. Yeah, I definitely agree. And one thing that I just thought of tonight was I thought the dialogue in this episode was just fantastic. Like every conversation, I was so engaged. Whereas last week, I don't remember anything that was said. Like I don't remember one conversation, but these ones were such memorable, great ones that I feel like this reminded me, like, we don't need to have a crazy battle or like anything like that. Like it can be a set up slow episode, but if it's good, it's good. And that's what we got tonight for sure.
I agree. Do any lines stand out to you? Any things that you saw and were just like, ooh, that's a good one.
I loved Aemon and Allison and Gwaine, and then Mysaria, yes, and Rhaenyra as well. Those three were like amazing to me.
I'm going to add in Larys and Aegon, I did not see. That might have been the most surprising one of the episode for me, because I agree with you. I loved Gawain and Allison talking. Sometimes I feel like the show is trying to make it like sort of nothing is Allison or Rhaenyra's fault in a way. I don't know. Occasionally I get that sense. Yeah. So just hear her kind of be kind of self-reflective and go to Gawain, like, and he's like, well, apparently it's a bad place to raise young men. He's like, or was it their mother? I'm like, it makes me like her. It makes me be like, oh, Allison, you did your best. Or did you? I mean, you kind of did a crap job, but also you had your reasons. I really liked that one. Larys opening up to King Aegon and shedding a tear. The tear might have been a tad much, but it did add a really cool layer to his character that he has gone through life with a disability and he's on the outs with Aemon, who is a highlight, calling him like, call Otto, you toad, which was great. Nice little dismissive insult. Yeah. And no one pays attention to Larys. And now he's imparting to the king, like, look, when you get out of this, you're not going to be able to move like you used to. You're not going to be able to run. All you got is your brain. It's going to suck. People are going to pity you. They're not going to like you. But you know what? I'm there for you, buddy, a little bit. And he also gets a political alliance out of it. So there was a lot going on in that scene. And I liked it because I didn't expect it. I didn't expect Laris to like open up and be emotional, which was very nice. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, there was a... So I have to push back a little bit on the setup angle. Like, I understand why people are saying it, but at a certain point, it's like, are we just calling every... Like, it did set things up, but like a lot happened in this episode. I think Daemon's Harrenhal arc kind of came to an end. I think the Viserys... I think Viserys, seeing him, that was kind of meant to signify, like, when he wakes up at the end and he's sobbing, like, that's the light at the end of the tunnel for Daemon at Harrenhal, I think. And from the preview for next week, we're going to see him meting out some justice in front of the Riverlords. So it does seem like this kind of put a bow on that. There was so much, though, like the Mysaria and Rhaenyra plot in King's Landing that sparked a food riot. Like, we did get, like, that was a pretty cool scene. And there were a bunch of deaths in this episode. Sir Stefan Darklyn, Aegon's three Lick Spittle bros he elected to the Kingsguard. Oh, they all got killed in the riot, presumably. There was also a very quick shot of a dude getting his arm chopped off in the riot, which I'm pretty sure is setting up the Shepherd, who that's... I am pretty sure that's going to be a character we're going to see again. They may recast him, but there's a one-armed beggar who is very important later in the show. So,
I didn't even think about that. He looks a lot like that
guy in the book. There's one picture of him in the book, and he looks just like the dude they cast for that. So,
dude, you're so right.
There was a lie in this episode. It looked just like him. So I think that's, like, we're seeing his origin story. We won't get into the deets of who the Shepherd is, for show watchers in the stream, but he's very important during a very tragic event later in King's Landing. So, yeah, there was a lot of setup, but, I'm a little bit like, what are we doing here? Like, these aren't filler episodes just setting things. Like, a lot happened.
This one wasn't.
The Laris thing, I did want to answer that just quickly. It's so interesting to me. Matthew Needham, who plays Laris, talked about how there was a scene that was cut from season one where it made it a little clearer that, like, the reason Laris is wanking to Allison's feet isn't just because he has a foot fetish. It's because that's a part of himself he's ashamed of. So making her ashamed of her own feet, like, that's like the emotional abusive angle of it, is I'm ashamed of a thing, so let me make you ashamed of the same thing. And
evil.
I could leave that for season one. That feels like a stretch for that scene in season one. But I do think that makes more sense in this scene with Aegon, where he's like, look, you're crippled now. You don't know it yet, but like we're part of the crippled club together. And Aegon's just like, he's been conscious for like an hour tops. Like, he's not ready for that conversation. But Laris needs an ally, because you're totally right about Aemon. Like, the winds are shifting for Laris. So he's like, you know, making Aegon real ashamed, but so they can be buddies. But yeah, it was a lot that episode. What are some other things you guys enjoyed, hated, loved? Where do we go from here?
I do want to address some of the comments, because some of you are all talking about kind of about season three. We'll get to that. I want to stick with the whole setup thing, because I think sometimes those were kind of like thrown around, set up, payoff in kind of a frivolous way. There actually was a lot that paid off. I thought a big part of the reason this one worked for me is because a lot of small things they laid in sort of bloomed nicely.
Yeah.
I really liked how, like, the peasant small folk dragon seed characters who have been like hanging out in the background for a long time. And I'll be honest, not really engaging me. Like, you know, there's been a few scenes with Hugh Hammer, played by Kieran Boo from Warrior, with his wife and his dying daughter. And there hasn't been like a ton of context for him. He's like a gruff, bearded, sad dad guy. And it's kind of like, why are we looking at him? But there's a lot to say about taking a character like that and putting him in a new context. Mm-hmm. And when this riot breaks out, okay, so we're seeing this guy punch someone and steal his food.
Yes.
And it gives us a kind of eyes on the ground for the riot, which kind of brings it to life in a way that it wouldn't before. Same with Ulf White.
Yes.
Like, he was introduced kind of glancingly in the first couple of episodes, drunkenly talking about his Targaryen ancestry. And now we see him starving. Like, we, even though there's small points of contact, they help ground that, right? It's going to make it really believable because we've met people who actually are directly affected by it, even if we don't know them very well. Yes. That really to me helped sell it a lot. And like, I was mad, like when Hugh Hammer's wife is like in the bread line, like they got there's no more bread. And she's like, what? I've been here all day. And then like all the sheep wagon like go by. And they're like, why should Vhagar to eat? I'm like, why should Vhagar get to eat? Riot, Attica. Like, I got it. And that's what you want a TV show to do. You want it to connect like kind of directly and give you a way to put yourself in the emotional experience the characters are going through. And having these small characters kind of peppered in, I haven't been compelled by them very much in the first half, but it felt like it paid off here. And if you read the book, you know they're going to do more stuff in the very near future. The riot scene I really loved. I thought the whole plan was pretty clever.
Me too.
I thought it was cinematic too. The way like the boats kind of like drifted on the morning tide. I guess I'm going to assume that can happen. That rowboats could be carried in by the tide and are full of food.
They had a sail.
I liked
they
had the, sails. They had a sail. The wind was going that way. I liked how like the wide shots of all the folk like running through the streets. I was genuinely scared for Alicent and Helena, even though I didn't think they would get out of it. I liked the way that they'd established that Alicent runs to the Great Sept whenever she's feeling down, pretty much to light candles. So part of me was like, how are they gonna get out of the castle? And like, oh, she does do that all the time, doesn't she? So I thought that was smart. That thing came together very, very nicely. It was intense. We had people I liked on the royalty side getting attacked, people we didn't like. Like I said, Aegon's three lick spittle idiot Kingsguard bros getting the crap kicked out of them, maybe killed. Oopsie. And then we had folk on the small folk side that I like. So that scene came together very, very nicely. I thought I liked it a lot. Great. And like you said, setting up the shepherd probably.
Yeah.
It also kind of once if Rhaenyra should ever take back King's Landing, they kind of like built in a reason why she'd be welcomed.
Yes.
Was saying like, Rhaenyra, thanks for us even now. Hey, Rhaenyra. I thought it was great. I really liked the riot scene.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I agree with everything you just said about the riot. I loved the shot of the boats coming in. My first thought was, oh God, is this guy going to try to keep all the food for himself? But then it was a fleet of, I like that was their plan. Like, we'll send so much food that no one person could even physically hoard it to themselves.
Yeah.
But I do there. So I want to get your guys's take on this other developments, which I'm sure the internet is going to be talking about a lot. Mysaria and Rhaenyra. What are our thoughts about this? Natalie, why don't you go first? Like, what do you think of that as a development?
I loved it. It totally made sense. I feel like Mysaria is one of Rhaenyra's closest confidants, and like one of the only people that she has besides Jace that actually believes in her and like doesn't treat her like a child, because everyone is like, you can't leave Dragonstone, you can't do anything, you just whatever. And Mysaria is like, no, there are other ways to win a war. Like, let's work on this together.
Yeah.
I love women. So like, I just love this. As we talked about on Slack, after we all watched the episode, we were kind of like, did this happen in the book? It didn't. And then one of you guys said, but it could have, no one would have known. So I think it totally works. And I'm here for Mysaria and Rhaenyra over Mysaria and Daemon. Like, go away, Daemon, you're annoying. So I love it. I think it's great. And it just makes sense. And I love them both so much as characters. So I'm rooting for them, even if it's just, you know, a secret fling that doesn't go anywhere.
I really liked how quietly they set that up and it snuck up on me. That's another thing that I thought paid off nicely, because I'd noticed myself liking Mysaria a lot more this season. I mean, she'd lost the accent, so that's, you know, plus 1 point. And then she was actively helping. She was contributing to the plot. She and Rhaenyra did have a nice rapport. So when it turned intimate and they hugged and they kissed, I would have, like, there's a version of this season where that feels like it comes out of nowhere. But in this season, it really didn't. It felt like it had led up pretty neatly. And Rhaenyra's giving this talk about how much, and she always admired Daemon, and they have Daemon in common, obviously. They have a connection. I bought it. I'm excited. I mentioned I was surprised, but when I thought about it, it made a lot of sense, which is kind of like the definition of a good twist, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that it's surprising when it happens, but when you think back, it's like, oh, I see dead people. Oh, he didn't talk to that guy, did he? Oh, that lady was actually never said anything in the room. And then you like realize, ooh. So I very much, I liked that. I do, when people say like, it's a setup episode, I'm not, we're analyzing that all this time, I guess. I think endings matter. I think because this episode ended on sort of a very much like come back next week to see like the next 5 minutes after this scene.
Yeah.
That maybe makes it feel, I wish that it kept going. I wanted like a more like a Chung Chung final note, like maybe Rhaenyra meeting the new dragon rider or something.
Yeah.
But I can't say, things definitely happened and they happened in a way that really compelled me. Daniel, any thoughts on any of this, Mysaria or beyond? What did you think of it?
Yeah. It surprised me too, because, you know, like we've said, if this did not happen in the book leaves enough room that it could have, but it never explicitly says that Rhaenyra and Mysaria had their own relationship. I think one, it's hilarious that Daemon went off and is having like this like weeks long mushroom trip at Harrenhal and his estranged wife is getting with his ex. but I think the scene itself was like, it was so natural that it, I agree with what you said, Dan. There's a version of this that could have felt like it came totally out of nowhere. Didn't really make sense. But the way they did it, it was like, oh, this is this happening? Oh, it's happening. And it makes total sense for these two.
Yeah.
And it feels right in this moment, the way they shot this scene. So in that way, I really liked it. I also think, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a second. I think it's kind of writing one of the great character wrongs of both Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon season one, which is that in Game of Thrones, in A Song of Ice and Fire, Daenerys Targaryen is canonically bisexual. She has relationships with women throughout the book series, and they cut that from the show. Rhaenyra in the book has a relationship with Lena Velaryon, which was cut from season one that a lot of people were upset about because they just, in my opinion, didn't really have time for it. Like, we only had one episode with Lena Velaryon as an adult. So this is I think a really smart, interesting way to bring that facet of Rhaenyra's character back into the story that is even juicier potentially because, you know, without getting into spoilers, Mysaria and Daemon and Rhaenyra are all very important characters who are all going to have a very large role to play going forward. And depending on how the show handles it, we should get the opportunity to see what it's like for all three of them to deal with this knowledge that there's tension in multiple ways in their, you know, many relationships. So I like it. I think it's a really cool development. Without going too hard on it, I think it's one of the smarter book changes that the show has made this season.
Bit it ass as Allison, also a closeted bisexual. There's a lot of kind of a undercover queer vibes on the show from the start. There always have been, like Rhaenyra and Allison's relationship very, very, very close.
Yeah.
I think the show will make some explicit and keep some general and hopefully wade in the complicated waters of human relationships and human life in a way that reflects our own topsy-turvy, interesting, complicated world.
Yes.
But I'm happy with the development. I can definitely see some, if they do it well, I mean, obviously, Rhaenyra, Daemon, Mysaria, all living under the same roof, dramatic Freeze Company episode could be pretty fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it, and I'm curious to see more. I like that I didn't see it coming, but it did make sense. I'm into it. There are two other plots we should talk about. One I didn't like, and one that I did. So
okay.
I think in the interest of ending on a high note, let's talk about Daemon first.
I had a feeling. Let me ask you guys.
I didn't hate it.
Did how much you've both hated, vehemently hated Daemon's plotline this season, did that take away from seeing Patty Considine again for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
I do agree with that. Even though I liked it.
I don't care by this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to see him again, too, but just, it's too much. I'm sorry. Like, it was a cool shock to the system when Millie Alcock showed up. Lena Valerian was, I guess, a little spooky, but I was already getting kind of tired of it. By this time, I'm just done with the dream sequences. I don't care if Emilia Clarke showed up. Like, I wasn't that interested. Even though these were maybe the best ones, I did like Damon like going into the throne room and hearing Viserys give his heir for a day, which being like, you can't possibly be mad about this. That was actually kind of funny. Line. And maybe if it was like one of three dream sequences tops, it would have been nice. But because it's like, what is it? Like number eight? Like, no. And I actually liked all the Damon stuff more this week than last week. I like him crazy.
Yes.
I liked him with a knife, putting a knife up to Showtime's throat. That's more entertaining than just kind of fail son Damon.
Yeah.
But the plot overall is still kind of dragging. I'd like to say one thing about Alice Rivers and then turn the tables over to you guys. Okay, so earlier I was talking about how characters like Hugh Hammer and Ulf White kind of gain depth for me this episode. Lara Strong, too.
Yeah.
Because you see them in like a new way. You see like a new angle on them. Like they were, Hugh Hammer was just sad bearded gruff dad. And now he's Hugh Hammer, riot participant. Like I get a new layer of him. Alice Rivers, I think, has only ever exchanged lines with Damon. I think he's literally the only person she's ever talked to on the show. And all their conversations just sort of seem the same. Even if Gail Rank is a charming actress, even if Matt Smith is talented, it's always like Damon's like, I'm going to take over the Riverlands. Alice is like, are you? Are you, though? Are you sure about that? They're just, I don't see a lot of depth. She almost feels like a Tyler Durden Fight Club character. I was kind of surprised when Sir Simon Strong said, like, we sent Alice Rivers, our Heal the River, on. And I'm like, you see her too? Like, that's how kind of cordoned off she's kind of been. So it's just another problem with the Damon plot. I haven't liked the Damon plot very much. And those are kind of some of my reasons why.
People have asked me who are watching the show, like, does she exist or is she the vision? And I'm like, I promise she exists. I don't know what's going on right now. I agree. I love Patty. Great actor. We all loved him in season one. I don't need to see him again. I'm so like, it's just so it's a waste of time. It's really, really annoying me. And I like Alice Rivers just because I like her as a character from the book. But this is not really giving anything. And I keep seeing too, I think Federica tweeted something that I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, I know we're not going to get into major book spoilers, but the relationship between Damon and Alice, is that going to replace Alice and another white haired man? Because how does it work to have both? Hmm. What the hell? I don't like this. And maybe, like, you know, I have faith in the show. I think it's going to be good, but I just am getting so nervous with these things. And I think their relationship is playing out too long and it's boring. And I'm scared for what it means for the future.
Yeah, that's legit.
What did you think, Daniel?
I think the fears about the future in regards to Alice is definitely fair because, so like for listeners or watchers who maybe haven't read the book, Alice Rivers and Damon, it's just like a single paragraph because Fire and Blood's a fake history. It's like a single paragraph that just says, and this woods witch, Alice Rivers, was there. And then it tells you who Alice Rivers is. And then it just says she didn't really have any effect on Damon. But you, dear reader, remember that Alice Rivers is here. She'll be relevant later. And then she's relevant later. So they are kind of using up some of the mystique of Alice Rivers on Damon here. Sorry, I keep having to move my cat with my foot because he's trying to steal my sandwich. I think it did take away the impact of seeing Patty Considine. I haven't loved the flash, the dream sequences. I haven't hated them as much as most because they're very lore heavy. And I do like a good bit of lore. But I think that by basically making it so that it's, I think it was the past three episodes. It might have even been the past four. It's like there's a different season one guest star in each episode for Damon. And I know that Ryan Condal, the showrunner, has talked about how like this is the Paradise Lost plot arc of House of the Dragon for him. Like the descent of Daemon through his own psyche at Harrenhal. And I think they've just overdone it a little bit. Even though I have enjoyed it, I think when you have someone like Paddy Considine come back and it's a muted reaction, that's a sign they probably overdid it. Even though I did love seeing Paddy Considine and like Emma Aaron, did they get that actress back just to like play a corpse for like a minute? They could have done a little bit more.
Easy money.
But I wish we could have gotten a smidge more of Emma Aaron. So yeah, I think you're right about Alice being kind of cordoned off too. Like, well, I saw people speculating about is she real or not, and I was like, we probably shouldn't even be asking this. That's probably a sign that something went amiss.
I don't think that's the reaction they wanted.
So I agree with that. I do think the show is doing some cool stuff with Alice Rivers. The things I appreciated most about Alice Rivers, aside from that cool barn owl she had, were some of the things.
We like birds.
We like birds. The things other people said about Alice. So the fact that she was like, just wait 3 days, do nothing, which, cool thing, that's the same thing Alicent said to Aegon, do nothing, except Daemon actually did it because Daemon is apparently down with being lazy and having trippy visions.
Drama.
But then Alice is the one who goes to River Run to oversee Grover Tully on his deathbed. So it's this fun thing of like, was he actually going to die, or did Alice Rivers like give him the nudge over the edge? So that, and then Larys. So I want to put this question to you guys. So Larys Strong, when he's telling his story to Aegon, he says he was born with his twisted foot. His father declared it sorcery and blamed a member of their household. Do you think Alice Rivers was the member of House Strong who was blamed for the Larys' clubfoot?
Can be your cat. I didn't think about it. Some good connections you're making. I didn't catch the shepherd thing or that. Maybe it. If she was blamed, they didn't do a great job of punishing, exiling her because she's still hanging around.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, if anyone's doing sorcery in Harrenhal, it's her. So.
Right. Yeah.
I did want to say quickly that. This is my last complaint about the Daemon subplot for the night, unless we come up with something new. The whole thing, I mean, I liked it more because Daemon seemed as fed up with it as I am. He was like, I'm leaving, I'm done with this crap.
Yeah.
The thing where she goes to River Run and maybe kills Big Bird Tully, maybe doesn't, or Oscar Tully. I mean, it's ambiguous, whatever. It also takes more agency away from Daemon, who has just had it just drained of him all season nonstop. Like, can he not do anything for himself? It really contrasts hard with the character we see in season one. Yeah. And of course, the one in Fire and Blood.
Yes.
I love doing hindsight theater. I love doing how would I have done it differently? And it seems to me that the way to do Daemon's story this year was just to have less of him in the show. And my guess is they just weren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
And they paid for Gail Rankin, so they're going to have them have scenes. And it's just sometimes that can lead to bad things. I think it led to bad things here.
Matt Smith is doing a great job. His acting, fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's just wasted at this point because no one cares.
This was a good episode for him acting-wise, I think.
Yeah.
I did like him putting the knife in Sir Strong's mouth. I just still wished he was doing other things that entertain me more.
So there is a dragon in the room we should probably address.
Yeah.
Chris said, who is the big dragon at the Vale in the chat? And so we're going to have to talk a little bit about book spoilers to discuss this one, but I do think we should discuss it. So we're about to see in the next episode a bunch of people try to ride dragons, most likely, like we did in this. The dragon in the Vale seems like it's being set up to be a wild dragon that, as Vidit said in the chat, is named Sheepstealer. Sheepstealer is a dragon in the book that lives on Dragonstone. It's named very literally because it's just a wild dragon that goes around stealing sheep
like this cat is trying to steal my sandwich.
What sandwich do you have?
It's a grilled cheese.
Oh, yum.
With the blueberries and basil in it.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, fancy.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, my wife experimented in the kitchen tonight. It is fantastic. sheep stealer. Wild dragon eats sheep, lives on Dragonstone. It's relevant for a different character in the book named Nettles, who is just a member of, she's just a commoner who feeds this dragon sheep until it becomes her friend. So that's why, yeah, Robert Harris says on Facebook, RIP Nettles. So the big question here is, They've clearly moved the dragon sheep stealer to the Vale. They're having Reyna discover sheep stealer, but they're also still setting up Reyna's own plot from the book, which has to do with all this stuff about Prince Reggio and whether they sail to Pentos or not. What do you both make of this? Because it's a choice with a capital C.
Yeah. These are the times where, do you guys ever, you're watching a show and you're just like, why did I read the books? Honestly, like, why did I do this to myself? Ignorance is bliss. I'm pissed about Nettles, honestly. I know we talked about it last week too. Like, she's such a great character. And so it's like, I think the further we're getting into the season, we know she's not going to be in it. And they're setting up Reyna for the story. But yeah, the timeline, like, we're again getting to the end of the season and all of the other things need to happen for her. So I don't really know where they're going with it. And again, I just have to be like, I trust you guys. It'll be fine I'm nervous, but I'm still really mad about Nettles.
Yeah, I completely feel you. Yeah, well, why? They are getting pretty far away from the book at this point. I mean, at least in like a lot of the details. And it's, again, it's really good. So it can still turn out okay. Yes. It probably will turn out okay. Like, why? I'd be here for a Reyna gets a dragon and bonds with her father subplot. But yeah, because I read the book and Nettles is one of the ones I was looking forward to the most. And now I don't get her. I liked her because, in fantasy especially, I feel like there's this tendency to write about the sacred bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And like, you are important because you're descended from some kind of important thing. And they're going to play with it. Like, I did like in the preview, like, Rhaenyra and Jace were pissed that these peasant small folk were joining their dragon riding club. That is cool. I do like that. I like Nettles though, because she was the epitome of that. Like, she's a nobody, not related to anybody. Doesn't even have any silver hair whatsoever. Doesn't have any Targaryen parents, and she still managed to get a dragon just through resourcefulness. I thought that was a really good angle, and I'm sorry it's not going to be in the show. It seems anyway. I'm sure they can do something good with Reyna though. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
They've set her up. So this really was set up, by the way.
This was
Reyna saw something and we'll see what it is later. Like, this was actual setup for the rest of the episode. There was quite a bit of payoff. And I'm sad that I won't get to see my book fave, but I'll trust him for this one. Yeah. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, so obviously I agree. I would be sad to not see Nettle. I am one of those delusional fans that held out hope for Lady Stoneheart for like 3 or 4 seasons. So like, I'm not totally ready to write Nettles off yet. Like, part of me is like, maybe Reyna just sees Sheep Stealer, and then Sheep Stealer hates the sheep that Reyna brings him. So he flies to Dragonstone and someone has sheep he likes more. And that someone is Nettles. Like, I'll hold out delusional hope that Nettles could turn up in season 3. Because there are,
someone's got to do it.
Yeah. I will wear the clown makeup and hold out hope for Nettles. Because, you know, she does become relevant later in ways that it's harder to imagine being as Reyna being relevant in quite the same way. Like, without going too deep down the spoiler rabbit hole, Nettles has some interpersonal relationships that cause her problems through no fault of her own, potentially. And it's hard to imagine how Reyna could have the same issues, even if there are some similarities in what the reality of those interpersonal relationships are like. That would be as applicable to Reyna. There's a bit of a daughter vibe with the nettles plot in the book, even if she's not actually one. So I think it's definitely a jury's out thing for me. I'm all for giving Reyna more material because she really does kind of just like park at the Vale for a while in the book. And then there's so many other characters that just doesn't super focus on her. So I'm all for that, but I am, you know, I'm mildly nervous for how it'll all tie together. But so far, the show is doing a great job of winning over my trust. So I will, you know, jury's out. Yeah, this episode did help. There was just so much. We didn't even talk about Adam and Alan of Hull or Sea Smoke hosting Sir Stephen Darklyn.
That's where we're going to end on.
Okay, good.
But I wanted to say one more thing about Reyna Nettles, all that stuff. Another small annoying thing about it is that, like, why can't there be a character who just sits in the Vale and is more contemplative? Like, why does everyone need to be a dragon rider? Like, can't we have a little bit of variety in here? That annoys me a little bit too. But again, you're right. Jury's out. It's set up. Yeah. It's fine. I like Reyna. Hope she gets her dragon riding dreams.
Yeah, there are issues. I think if they really do cut Nettles and combine her with Reyna, there's a little part of me that's like, this is a weird, like, optics wise, this is a weird choice for you guys to make, because Nettles is also like the one character who is very clearly canonically dark skinned. Like they make a point of it in the book. So to cut that character and just combine her storyline with another character you already have on the show makes me be like, of all the characters you could have cut, you couldn't have cast another actor of color to play that role? Like, that is an odd choice for them to make, I think. But a lot will depend on how it all pays off. So.
Okay.
Yes.
In the interest of ending on a high note, let's talk about the dragon seeds. Let's talk about Rhaenyra offering to Sir Stephen Darklyn, you know what you could do for us? Claim a dragon. He's like, I will do this with, I will devote myself to this. It is my my prayer, my heart, my duty. And then
loved it. He's like, I did it.
That scene was great. That scene was just really good.
I did it. And Sea Smoke's like, what'd you say?
Yeah. Poor guy.
Got a little too close. We didn't know him very well, but he had a nice little arc there. It was I love the scene because it did something I hope was intentional, and that Game of Thrones did a bunch of times, and a lot of these kind of dark fantasy should do more often, which is combine like intense atmospheric drama, you know, like the singing, the dragons coming up, with kind of pitch black humor. Like I laughed when Sea Smoke torched Sir Stephen Darklyn. I thought it was pretty funny that this guy took this so seriously, and then the dragon was like, nope, and then just burned everybody. I think if you go deep and dark, especially deep and dark involving silly things like dragons, humor's like always right under the surface, and I'm in favor of it bubbling up.
Yeah.
Was it just me who laughed, or are there other sociopaths?
Maybe the second time. The first time I felt bad and was like, oh shit. And then the second time, it's hilarious. I did it. I can't believe it. Yeah. The poor guy. I mean, he was sweet. I liked him. I felt bad for Rhaenyra because she was like, I thought I was doing the right thing. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I wanted to ask, because people keep saying this in the comments, that about leaks. We don't follow the leaks. We watch the screeners. We don't know anything about this, but people keep saying that Darren is actually Chris and Cole's son.
What? No way.
Maybe it's in the leaks. I don't know.
I don't think so, because I think both Olivia Cooke and Fabian Frankel have kind of alluded to Allison's relationship with Kristen being a thing that happened since Viserys died. Like, Allison's kind of unhinged emotional reaction to my old gnarly husband's dead, and now I have freedom to do things for the first time in my life, essentially. Yeah. So, you know, Darren is around the same age as Jace. They may change that. He's 16 in the show, they said. I don't know how old Jace is supposed to be in the show, but in the book, they're the same age. So I don't like Viserys was still around then. So I don't really know how they would make that work necessarily. Yeah. So I don't think so.
They could. I don't know. So an actor said something. Ooh, I'll trust that.
Fair.
Yeah, I have no idea. We'll see. I don't know. We'll find out. I also liked, I love Sea Smoke going to find Adam and chasing him through the aisle. Yes. That was fun. Again, two characters who were kind of sort of boring me earlier in the season. Just it seemed like we would stop by that dock every episode to get a new scene of Adam and Alan of Hull just sort of chatting.
Yeah.
And it's going somewhere, but where? And now we're finally seeing it. Like, they finally confirmed they're Corlys Velaryon's bastards. I love the detail of Alan shaving his head so his silver white hair wouldn't show.
Yeah,
that was
nice. A cool detail.
And the scene that was cool, and the scene where Sea Smoke chased Adam around was just fun.
Yeah.
Like, how scary would that be? Like, you're trying to pick crabs from the tide pools and suddenly this giant thing is flying around trying to eat or burn or whatever you don't know to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great. Very relatable. And obviously, it's heavily implied he's the one who rides it. The trailer confirms it. I wish I would have, like, seen it. I don't know. I wanted, like, I don't know, but perhaps, like, the final image of the episode would be, like, Adam going, like, on the like dragon Leonard or something. Did. Like, something a little... Yes! Oh, that would be perfect.
That would be.
He even kind of looks like Laenor. I think Sea Smoke was seeking him out because he shares Laenor's DNA.
Yeah, same.
And he kind of little looks like him. Yeah, that was a good scene. I enjoyed being in Adam's shoes, and I'm eager to see more of that.
Yeah.
Big Adam. This was probably my same here. This was probably my favorite episode for Adam. Adam especially, but Adam and Alan. I loved that scene where you caught that. I totally missed that on my first watch, that Alan is shaving his head because they know that they are bastards of Corlys Velaryon. And we needed that bit of explicitness to really get a feel for like what they actually know and what they didn't, because they left it kind of ambiguous up until this point. So I'm glad that we got that in this episode.
Too long.
Maybe a little too long. But we needed to know it before Sea Smoke showed up. So, yeah, good stuff. Liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. The whole episode was very, very solid. I'll go look at these leaks everyone's talking about now. I ain't heard of them.
Don't do it.
But we'll check it
I'm
out.
I'm not reading them. I can't.
People saying... So, like, people saying he's black of hair, according to the leaks. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, or whoever you are, Vidit. But we know that Darren is not cast yet. So maybe they say he's black of hair somewhere.
Oh,
but, like,
true.
We know for a fact there is not an actor cast for that part. Because Ryan Condal said it, like, 2 weeks
ago. They could still mention
it. They could. They could be like, Darren Targaryen, you know, the one that's black of hair. We'll see what happens, but I would just,
I don't know. We'll
you know, see. There are 2 weeks left. My advice is don't put too much faith in the leaks. We're all going to see these in the next 2 weeks anyway.
I hope the season maintains its momentum. I hope the next two episodes really go hard. I do think we'll look back at it in more detail when it's all over. I do think it's too late to really be a rip-roaring adventure through and through. I think they kind of drag their feet too much, but there's been definite high points, and this is a great step forward. So kudos to you. Yay you, House of the Dragon. Any other thoughts, you guys, before we sign off?
Excited for next week.
Yeah, super, super excited. We didn't talk about Aemond as regent at all. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts you want to share about that. I didn't have too many aside from it's just great to see him making everyone in that room squirm because he's just giving everyone orders they hate. But he's bringing back Otto.
Yeah.
Love that. Also like seeing Lannisters at the beginning.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah.
I liked Otto mentions. Aemon was great. He was very authoritative and a jackass boss. Wonderful. Yeah. Good to have someone to bring some danger to the room. Yeah. I like the scene with Aegon. Yeah. The brothers are always good.
Don't you tell mom.
About killing. Yeah, good stuff. Natalie, any final thoughts?
Excited for next week. The preview looks good, so I have a little bit more faith. And yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do in the finale, and I'm going to try to not overthink it and just enjoy it. We'll see.
I have a guess, not based on leaks at all. I think they're going to make a big deal out of the Battle of the Red Fork, which is a battle from the book, and they'll change it up, which they obviously do not have a problem doing, and probably add some characters who aren't in it to it. And throwing the Northmen in there, throw Krieg and Stark in there or something.
That would be great, yeah. I've lost faith that we're going to get the Gullet, but that would be great.
This season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Eventually, yeah, but not in the finale, which I was hoping.
Yeah.
They might have an issue with ending in a way that doesn't have people just, I don't know, on the edge of their seats for however long it takes to come back, but maybe they'll surprise us. We'll find out soon enough. Yeah. And when we do, we'll be right here to recap, review, analyze, and break it all down. We're here after every new episode of House of the Dragon on the Winners Coming YouTube and Facebook page to talk about it. Join us after every new episode two more times. Also, we stream live on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. on the East Coast, 1 p.m. in the mountains, and noon on the West Coast. So come and join us there, too. We talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, books, TV. We're very knowledgeable. We're very friendly. We love talking and talking with you and with each other. So join us then, too, 2 p.m. CST on Wednesdays. Download us in podcast form. Leave us a comment, a like, a subscribe. Love us. And as we love you. And thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And have a wonderful evening. Goodbye.
Hello.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.